Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour on this Friday, the 6th day of January 2012. I'm Jeff Seifert for Raven News. The Alaska Legislature will gavel into session on January 17th. Next week, you'll hear perspectives from state legislators discussing the issues they think will be important in the session ahead. But this morning, we take a look at Sitka's priorities. Every year, the city and borough, along with other organizations that routinely get state funding, put together a wish list of sorts asking for state money. Sitka's list was adopted by the Assembly last fall, and it outlines the projects city leaders consider the most important things to accomplish in the year ahead. What happens in Juneau in the next few months could determine which projects get done and which continue to wait. KCAW's Ed Ronco has this look ahead.
The booklet is only 32 pages long, but on those 32 pages are millions of dollars in hopes, worries, needs, and wants. Sitka's annual list of legislative priorities includes broad ideas they'd like the state to continue to share revenues, to boost education funding, to fund unfunded mandates, and to fix up the harbors. But it also includes very specific projects.
I would hope that we get some help with our alternate potable water supply.
Mayor Cheryl Westover right there talking about Sitka's need to find a temporary source of drinking water while the Blue Lake Dam is under construction. When Blue Lake has been inspected before, every 5 to 10 years or so, the city has used water from Indian River, along with a nearby treatment plant, to provide water to Sitka. But new state regulations would require Sitka to issue a boil water notice if it pulls from Indian River, even with the treatment plant. And the city says that would have ramifications for people with compromised immune systems, as well as restaurants and medical facilities, and so they need to find a new source. Doing so, and doing it before the fall of 2014, will cost $5.1 million, most of which the city hopes the state will pay for. Other requests for state funding include $1.5 million toward a $9 million federally required UV disinfection system for municipal drinking water. The EPA is requiring that to be in place before October 1st of 2014. The city is also hoping the state sends more than $7 million for additional diesel power generation, $8 million to rebuild the bulkhead at the Marine Service Center on Catlian Street, another $6.5 million for a bulkhead dock at Sawmill Cove Industrial Park, and more than $4 million to cover half the cost of replacing A and B Harbor. And then there's the roof at Sitka Community Hospital.
It certainly hasn't improved, but it at least keep our fingers crossed it hasn't gotten any worse.
Hugh Hallgren is the administrator of the city-owned hospital, which asked voters to approve a tax increase to pay for a new roof in October. Voters said no. And now?
We are hopeful that Senator Stedman and the legislature, as part of their capital budgeting program, will be able to support a new roof for the hospital and thus for the community of Sitka.
The new roof would cost $1.5 million, which Westover says might be doable on the state level. If not, she says the city will have to figure out how to replace the roof.
I don't know that we can afford to have that roof go through another winter, especially if we have a winter where we have lots of snow. So
the hospital roof, drinking water, diesel generators, new docks, money for the harbors. The list also includes state money for a library expansion, a Centennial Hall expansion, improvements at Moeller Field, paving city streets, improvements to Swan Lake, and more. The requests go before legislators who write the state's capital budget, and that budget gets vetted by both chambers of the legislature before moving on to Governor Sean Parnell. Parnell has line item veto power, and he can pull out individual projects if he doesn't want to fund them. Westover says she knows the city won't get everything it asks for. But she also says Sitka has done pretty well, having a state senator who is co-chair of his chamber's finance committee, and the city has even fared well when it comes to gubernatorial vetoes, at least in recent years.
The governor was pretty darn good to us this last year, so, I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't, because I thought the governor, I mean, his veto pen wasn't as heavy-handed as I thought it was going to be this last year.
Still, Westover will be among city officials from across Alaska trying to convince legislators and the governor of their needs when they travel to Juneau in February for the Alaska Municipal League Conference. Until then, Westover says, and really after then, too, the city will wait to see what happens at the state capitol. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Pacific High School will be getting some new kitchen equipment thanks to a federal grant. The alternative high school in Sitka is one of five schools in the nation to win a grant from the Department of Health and Human Services Office of Minority Health. Co-principal Sarah Ferenczi says the money will be used to purchase a commercial refrigerator and a commercial oven. The equipment will be used in the school's student-run school lunch program. Students who take the class get their commercial food worker card, and Ferenczi says a number of alumni have been able to find work in food services upon graduation.
So some students take a class each session, and they learn to cook in a commercial kitchen. And the kitchen that we have now is not, the equipment we have right now is really home kitchen equipment, and we're cooking lunch for 25 students every single day. And so really at that point, you start to need some equipment that will wear better and that just has larger volume.
The new refrigerator will allow the school to store a week's worth of perishable food, and the new oven will allow students to bake food instead of just cooking on the stovetop. That allows the lunch program to offer healthier foods. Additionally, Ferenczi says the school is hoping to develop its curriculum further and share it.
Our goal is to create menus and nutritional education modules, and culinary arts education modules that is sort of a portable packet that small schools throughout Southeast and really throughout the country could use. We'll publish them on our website. And then other small schools could take these things and create small lunch programs.
Ferenczi says the $5,000 grant is one target within a larger project. Earlier this year, the school received more than $24,000 from the CrossFit Foundation to further develop the school lunch program and revamp the menu. In other news, Southeast leaders should stop trying to build a region-wide power grid. Instead, they should focus on saving energy and developing wood-powered heating plants. Those are among the recommendations from an in-depth study of the region's energy issues. The draft Southeast Alaska Integrated Resource Plan was unveiled yesterday during an advisory group meeting at Juneau's Baranoff Hotel. The Alaska Energy Authority plan recommends completing two power lines that already have some funding. One would link Cake to Petersburg, and the other would connect Metlakatla to Ketchikan. But consultant Kevin Harbour says a region-wide grid is just too expensive.
Largely a combination of the high cost of building transmission and the very low loads in the region make the cost of transmission uneconomic.
The plan also says a line across the border to Canada is not worth building. It says reduced power use through energy efficiency and lowering peak time demands is a better way to lower electrical costs without building too many expensive projects. AEA's Jim Strandberg says that includes reversing the growing use of electricity to heat homes and businesses.
That has really, in a rather unexpected fashion, I think, caused their loads to go high, and they've consumed what they thought in many cases was adequate hydro capacity.
The energy plan recommends continued work on five hydro projects. They're Angoon's Thayer Lake, Heidelberg's Reynolds Creek, Ketchikan's Whitman Lake, Hoonah's Gartina Falls, and expansion of Sitka's Blue Lake. It calls for a more detailed study and comparison of several other projects before they move ahead. Advisory Board Chairman Rick Harris says wood-powered biomass energy should also be a part of local power solutions.
New technologies in some areas, tidal, wave action may be a viable alternative in the future, but we just see that that's one that's proven, well-developed, the technology is well-developed, and so we think that it has an important role to the region.
Harris is Executive Vice President of Sea Alaska. The regional native corporation uses a wood pellet boiler to heat its Juneau headquarters and is trying to build a regional wood heat industry. The advisory board will seek public comment before it finalizes the plan. The lengthy document is available through the Alaska Energy Authority's website, akenergyauthority.org. Look for the Southeast Alaska Integrated Resource Plan link. The State Labor Department is forecasting what it calls modest economic growth of 1.2% this year in Alaska. That would translate to 3,900 jobs and mark the third straight year of growth in the state. Preliminary estimates show employment grew by 1.6% last year, the most since 2005 when it grew by 1.8%. The department expects oil revenues and federal funding to continue to be major contributors to the state's economy, though it notes that both these could decline in the future. It projects growth in industries including mining and health care. Southeast Alaska, Anchorage, and Fairbanks are all expected to add jobs this year, while the others saw growth. Fairbanks' employment was flat last year, which the department partly attributes to large military deployments. Governor Sean Parnell says his meeting with the CEOs of the major North Slope players was productive, touching on how to get the companies to unite behind one natural gas pipeline project. However, Thursday's meeting yielded no solid commitments toward building a line. Parnell met privately with Rex Tillerson, the chief executive of ExxonMobil, as well as BP CEO Bob Dudley and ConocoPhillips CEO Jim Mulva. In October, Parnell invited them for a multi-party meeting of the gas commercialization stakeholders. Tillerson, Dudley, and Mulva also attended a reception. Dudley told reporters it's time for the companies to consider the issues that must be addressed to get behind a project. He says he believes a project that would allow for liquefied natural gas to be shipped overseas could be competitive. Meanwhile, TransCanada Corporation, which has yet to secure agreements for a major gas pipeline in Alaska, must solicit the market again this year to gauge interest in its project. That's in keeping with terms of the Alaska Gas Line Inducement Act, under which TransCanada is proceeding. TransCanada Vice President Tony Palmer tells the Associated Press the company would need to do this whether it had agreements already or not. The act calls for assessing market demand for additional capacity every 2 years through an open season, which is a process of courting producers and seeking commitments or other means like direct communication. The idea is to ensure producer access to the line and that transportation costs aren't obstacles to new developers or explorers. That's it for Raven News for this hour. You can find more on our website at kcaw.org. You're listening to KCAW Sitka. It's 1 minute past the hour. Good morning.